Bush show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMHAFAIR,
CGA.
Or any of them, their
guys.
I actually saw a movie recently called Star Trek Renegades.
Yeah.
Not the biggest budget on that one.
Ah.
Had William Koenig as Admiral Chekhov, and it had the worst CGI I've like ever seen. I'm like, you guys should have just made a character-driven plot and stayed away from all that hokey stuff. By the way, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Shelley's working on cookies hard.
That's my dinner.
She's still doing cookies from the last show.
We have not. We didn't eat dinner. So
Debbie sent this double secret bag for Shelley.
Oh, yes.
She handed me this and said, take this to Shelley. I said, you have two different batches in here. She goes, that's okay. She knows.
Well, but we're sending back candy apples because I bought 36.
In the same bag because she likes that bag.
I bought 36 candy apples of a variety pack of types. And these guys make great candy apples. I mean,
I am actually really excited about
there's
that.
There's like New York cheesecake. I mean, there's all kinds of – and really good. Really good. So, Mark, you were starting to tell us a story about your fostering kittens.
Yes, we are. I have one dog and one cat, and I'm really happy keeping the menagerie to those two
pets.
Now,
wait, which dog?
Sushi.
Sushi, okay.
Sushi's going to be 17 soon.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Sushi
is that how long little dogs live?
Oh, yeah.
Little dogs live longer.
She's other than the fact that she can barely hear and can't see out of one eye. She's doing great.
World record for a dog is like a Yorkie or something.
Oh, yeah. They live
it's like 39 years or something.
Yeah. So that's my rule in the house. One dog, one cat. That's it. If you want a new one,
we should have
something has to happen to the old one. And so
we just had that happen.
However, the animal shelter called us a few weeks ago and said.
They called you?
Yeah, why did they call you if you only have one dog, one cat, and that's it?
Because I have fostered animals in the past, yes. So I'm on the list.
Ah.
And they said, we are overrun with kittens. And we can't put them up for adoption till they weigh 2 pounds. Is there any way you guys could
foster
a couple? Debbie said, I'm not working right now. I'd love to. So went and got two kittens.
Kittens are fantastic.
14 ounces each.
So they've only got a couple ounces to go.
Well, no, they need to get to 2 pounds.
No.
Oh, 2 pounds. Oh, yeah.
Two pounds.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But kittens are fantastic.
Yeah. So we get these kittens. They are cute and adorable, and they haven't quite figured out what those things on the end of their paws are yet, though. So the backs of my hands.
Yeah, they
look
don't know
like
how to retract them yet.
They don't. They just grab onto everything.
And they climb up your legs with them.
Yeah. Which is why I was glad it wasn't hot anymore because I quit wearing shorts. Yeah, they climb up legs and arms, and they love like taking a leap when you're sitting on the bed and landing on the back of your neck and grabbing on as tight as they can.
What I love are I see videos of them on fail videos all the time. These cats that are, and they're small cats. Like they haven't figured out how far they can jump yet, and they're like. They're like there and they're getting ready. They're going to jump up in the windowsill and they launch off the couch and like they go about a foot and go straight down.
Yeah. So we've got these kittens and we had projected probably after Thanksgiving they'd probably be where they need to be. So we took them in today for their little kitty wellness check because they need to weigh them every 2 weeks. One's at 2 pounds. One's at 2 pounds, 1 ounce.
Oh, I bet Debbie was sad.
Debbie is not ready for these kittens to leave. And I've already made the appointment Thursday for them to go back and be fixed, and they stay when I take them back.
Oh, I'm sorry, she is not happy.
I know. She is like, and I said, there are going to be no foster fails that go on here. A foster fail is when you foster a cat.
Yeah, and then you keep...
And you fail to take it back. Yes, because if you foster them and you decide to keep them, you get them for free.
I had a rep from one of my companies, mm-hmm. had three foster children.
Take them all back?
For like a couple years. And she said, nope, going to
adopt... Had them fixed and put them back.
I'm going to adopt all three of them.
Yeah.
So she adopted all three of them.
Yep.
Shelly, did we talk about Zen on the show?
I don't know. But one thing I want to mention, he's talking about getting fostering cats from the shelter. There was a shelter, a county shelter in Ohio. Is it Cleveland or Akron? I can't remember which one. Shelter's completely full. And more animals coming in. They're getting overcrowded. They figure they got to do something. One of their employees managed to find a grant and got some other donations together. And they did a one-day event. All adoptions are free. All the animals were fixed and had their shots, and they all came with their accoutrement and like a week's worth of food.
Uh-huh.
So they had like litter box, they had chew toys, they had, I mean, everything, blankets, the whole bit. So it was like ready to go pet kit.
Yeah.
And then one of their younger employees got on social media. By the end of the day, they were empty.
That's
had
awesome.
Not a single animal left.
So once the week's worth of food ran out, how many came back?
Well, yeah. I just saw this story like 2 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like...
Yeah, but you know what? Even if 50% of them came back, you emptied
that's just
half
awesome.
Of your
shelter. They had so many out where we live, they actually, when we said yes, we would do it, they said, don't come to the shelter. They had a warehouse separate from the shelter that somebody had donated for them to set all the cages up with all the kittens.
Aww.
And then they said, which ones do you want? And they said, can you guys bottle feed? And they had kittens there that were about the size of, a little bit, about the size of my, from my thumb to my pinky.
Aww.
Little tiny ones. And when we got there, they were all in a panic because we went to the warehouse. They had just gotten a call from the shelter. Somebody had zip-tied a pregnant cat to the fence at the shelter.
Oh, no.
So that... Under the thinking that would be properly taken care of when they got there.
Oh.
That's awesome, but you zip-tied a cat to a fence.
Did the cat live?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so they were all panicked because the cat was very pregnant.
Oh.
So.
Anyway, Zen. Yeah. I think we've talked about Zen on the show. We lost my personal cat, you know, of our menagerie, as you call it, passed away.
Yes.
About a month ago.
We have two cute little kittens that would just... You'd just love them.
No.
Do you know?
Absolutely not. No. Because. Shush. Man will shush. Because the proclamation was made like a year ago.
Uh-huh.
No more new cats.
Thinning the herd?
When the ones that we love now and have taken care of have gone to their reward, we're just sticking with dogs.
You're going to refloor?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, we got to figure out what to do with our incontinent chihuahuas. We've got they're untrainable at this point.
Our house is a strange house because we have Bonnie. We have Weber.
Oh.
We have Zen, and we have my friend Larry, here at the house.
Oh.
Yes. They've
in
all
boxes.
Passed away.
Yes.
But they're all here.
In boxes.
Okay.
Larry is the one I'm really...
concerned about.
Not sure what to do with.
Larry sits in on the show every week. He's
yeah.
up in the cupboard.
Larry's in the peanut gallery every week.
Every week, yeah, I know. It's a little weird.
And he was one of your high school friends, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
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 I keep sitting here going, I don't want to ask this question, but for the viewers' sake who haven't heard the story, I have to ask it. Why do you have Larry?
That's
an attic story.
Teddy brought Larry over.
No.
His son brought Larry.
Chris.
Larry
his son, Chris.
And Chris was having little problems with drug and alcohol. I don't know whatever happened to Chris. But
he was
brought,
in jail for a year
he
and
brought
a half.
Larry over.
How much of Larry got snorted by people?
Yeah. I don't think any. Larry's pretty heavy.
Oh.
Larry is... Larry was a pretty good-sized guy, too. So he's...
ashes are only how much?
I guess. There's a bunch of Larry. And I don't know what to do with Larry.
Yeah, and our friend Teddy was saying that he knew what Larry wanted done, but then...
He said Larry would want to go to the Bridge to Nowhere, which is up in the canyon.
Ah.
I don't know.
You know what? Go over to Pasadena, take Larry to Suicide Bridge, and throw him off the edge.
The weird thing is...
No, I'm not doing that.
I've never known... I don't ever remember Larry going to the Bridge to Nowhere, so I'm not sure why Teddy thinks that he wants to go there.
Maybe that's where Teddy wants to go.
Teddy's at the Bridge
to Nowhere. Teddy's been at the Bridge to Nowhere for a while.
We are 10 minutes into the show.
You know what that means.
Talking about nothing.
You know what that means.
That's what the show's about. What's it mean, Bruce?
Yeah, it's we're like Seinfeld. It's a show about nothing. Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
I love that I have to clean.
Wow, you did.
I got a crack in my dutes there.
You got a dute in your crack.
All right.
Got a cold for like a week.
See.
Just doesn't want to go away.
We have shout-outs to Dakota, Georgette, Jack, Randy, Dan Stryker, Spin Drifter, Elizabeth Pete.
I love that name.
I know.
Alexandria. Carol, James, Brian, Bill, Joey, Damon, the other Damon, and Karen.
Sweet.
Dude.
Sweet.
All right. Brian sent this story in, and it really... Who's
Brian?
That's who we're talking about. Who's Brian? And it really skeeved me out. This happened in Scotland.
Aye, if it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Yeah, you might want to hold off on that for a sec. Richard Finlayson, 21, and his younger sister Kirsty, 18,
aye,
were caught having sex at a train station this year.
Okay.
Brother and sister. Step brother and sister?
No.
What was his last name?
Finlayson.
What was her last name?
Finlayson.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Apparently, it's actually a crime in Scotland to have sex with your sibling.
I think it's a crime here, too.
Is it?
I don't
know. Oh, I guess it is. Yeah, incest.
Maybe it's by state, because I'm pretty sure there's some states where that might be okay.
They were caught.
They were only caught because they were doing it in public at
a train station. Now, because...
How old is he?
He's 21, she's 18. When this happened this summer, though, they've just been sentenced. She was 17, which is actually the age of consent. However, because he had reached his actual majority, that's considered a crime against a minor.
Right. Well, they're in the United States as well. Like, let's say, I think it's in Nevada, like age of consent is like 15. So if your boyfriend is like 17 and you're 15, that's okay. But there's something about the amount of time. So like, even though the age of consent is 15, you can't be like 22 and go out with a 50. You can't bang a 15-year-old.
Well, he is now on the sex offender list for 2 years in Scotland. And she is on probation. And they both have...
She doesn't get on the sex offender list?
No, because she was the minor in question. They both have to receive counseling regarding mental health, substance abuse, and employment, because apparently she said that she didn't know what was going on because she was too drunk. But the thing that made the story really cockeyed for me is that the story didn't hit the press until they found out that the judge went on a rant talking about how they had just both ruined their lives now that everyone knows about this. It wasn't until the judge went off on his spiel
that everyone knew about it.
That suddenly it got published.
But this is a brother
with
banging
pictures.
A sister, and
with
it didn't
pictures.
And it didn't get weird to you until...
I mean, not weird, but I mean, like, if the judge had not done that in court and made, you know, the court reporters go, you know...
Is it a good-looking couple?
I don't know, average. But they're not a couple.
Were they coupling?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, moving on.
I think they were coupling.
Okay, this is the possible topic story that Bill sent in. He says, it makes sense to me. In Ireland, the top of the story is talking about how the United States is trying to rethink how to penalize citizens for drug possession. Ireland is going to be mulling over how to fund and administrate decriminalizing all drugs completely.
All drugs.
All drugs. All illegal drugs. And they want to do it on the Portugal scheme.
Because I haven't read this, is this including things like, let's say, Oxycontins and things like that?
Well, those are already prescribed, so those laws stay in place. They're talking about illegal, like, street drugs.
Well, no, but what I mean by that is, so let's say I get caught with cocaine, which used to be a felony possession, but now it's not. But if I get caught with someone else's Oxycontins, then I'm still prosecuted?
No.
Oh.
Because the way it works, the way Portugal did it, is any illegal drug possession, which would include if you have illegal possession of a controlled, you know, a pharmacological
substance. You know how many people are flying to Ireland right now?
Portugal. Go to Portugal. Well, the thing is, you're not – basically, it's a traffic ticket. You go to court and you're offered – you know, either assistance with counseling, or you can go into their standardized drug program, which is where you go to a center and you get your drugs. They're clean. They're made available for you. The only thing that's still actually really illegal is sale and distribution. Illegal sale and distribution of, like,
well,
street drugs.
I know that in London.
Well, how do I get them then?
Yeah.
You go to a center.
You, like, go to a drug recovery center, except for it's not recovery. It's,
well,
it's
anyway.
Like, it's like a depot.
Well, anyway, we're getting into topic type of discussion.
Okay,
this,
good.
So,
okay, then we'll
but
wait.
At any rate, what I thought was interesting about the story is that Portugal did this. They decriminalized in 2001, and their rates of overdose death and incarceration due to drug plummeted. Just plummeted.
Okay.
I mean, but we could talk about
it. Yes, I have comments.
Yeah, I have
that
comments
on
that, but.
All right, so.
They did that in London on heroin, where they gave heroin users heroin, like instead of methadone, and gave them smaller amounts and got tremendous quantities of people off heroin.
Just a thought for discussion on the show later. If you were to decriminalize crime, crime would go way down.
Yes.
Is that like Schrodinger's cat?
Oh, this one's going to be a barn burner, folks.
Okay, Bill sent this one in. In London, researchers at the BFI National Archives discovered a lost...
Is that British Film Institute?
Yes, discovered a lost Walt Disney animated film. It's only 6 minutes, a short film, that has been restored by... They returned it to Disney, and it was restored by Disney. It will be shown for the first time in 87 years... at a premiere in London on December 12th. It's called Sleigh Bells, and it features one of the early versions of Mickey Mouse.
Is he Oswald or is he Mickey?
Oswald.
You know, Oswald was the lucky rabbit.
Right, but it's like, in the story, it's like in between.
It's like between Oswald and Steamboat Willie.
Yes.
Sleigh bells ring.
And they expect that they will find more. Apparently, Disney had animators over there doing stuff, and there may be other shorts in the archives at the BFI they don't know about.
That's awesome.
They're going to look
for
more.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, well, this will fuel Bruce's conspiracy theories. Washington, D.C., the U.S. military has declared the... very complex $230 million test of a U.S. missile defense system to be a success. This was just declared this weekend.
Of course.
We just had an incident where they tested a missile.
Did you see that? Did you see it like weeks ago?
No, it was like a week ago.
Dude, totally saw it. Right next, looking out the back of the store, totally saw it. And see, my conspiracy theory thing is, so they're running this secret test for this missile. The Navy. Who launches a secret test across the Southern California sky inland? Who does that? I mean, if you're trying to be secretive, you'd think you'd sit offshore and, I don't know, launch it westward so that it doesn't go anywhere near where millions of people are going to see it.
In case you missed?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who fires a test missile over a populated area?
We do, apparently. But the military is hailing this as a success.
Well, of course they are. The aliens told them to.
Yes, Bruce has been going on for a week about it's aliens.
I'm just
no,
saying
it wasn't aliens.
Because they're... at first, Shelley saw this thing. She said, it's clearly a meteor because you can see all the pieces coming off it.
I could see what I thought were pieces coming off, little bits.
That was explosive.
Well, actually, what it did is it just kind of got to the end and just kind of
vaporized.
Faded out.
Yeah, it was effective. Yeah.
It was very weird.
Yeah, I was, when you talk about missile defense, I was thinking about the episode of West Wing when they're testing the shield and
never saw it once.
No, yeah, they're testing the defense shield to intercept missiles. So they're going through this whole thing, and the chief of staff gets the prick. He's all hot on this. He gets the president and brings him down to the Situation Room, and they're testing the thing, and they're going, "Okay, we have contact. We have this." And I was quiet for like a minute. And he goes, what's the quiet? He goes, this is where we find out. It's going to work this time.
It's going to work this time.
Okay, he goes, why is it still quiet? 8 out of 9 parts of the test were completely successful. He goes, what part was it? We missed.
Uh-huh.
He goes, well, how much did you miss by? He goes, 680. He goes, 680 feet? He goes, you know, that's not bad. He goes, I can understand.
Yards.
He goes, 680 miles.
Miles. I don't know. I'm not saying it's aliens. What I'm saying is it's really weird that we run a top secret test by the Navy and fire it over land, over what would essentially be Southern California.
Maybe we intercepted an alien ship and that's what we shot down.
Yes.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
All right, the next story is from
Florida
and New York, New York. This is a dual state story.
The way you sang that sounded like a different song.
Is that about a retired Jewish couple?
New York, New York. It did. I sang that wrong.
Yeah.
Did
New
I?
York.
No, I am singing a different song. I'm singing New York, New York. That's the Start Spreading the News song. Anyway, James Pacheco, 43 years old, is facing murder charges in New York for the murder of William Figueroa from 1992, and he's just been apprehended. The reason why he was apprehended, he's a pimp in Florida, and he's been in jail there for various reasons. He's at the Appalachian Correctional Institute.
Appalachian?
He was incarcerated for several things, but one of the things is he's still on trial for a murder in Florida. However,
he's a double winner.
He decided to confess to the unsolved 1992 New York murder because apparently conditions in jails in Florida are so bad, he wants to serve his term in New York.
Perfect.
Yes. I'm like, I don't care where you go.
I want to confess to a murder in the Bahamas.
Yes.
It kind of backfired on him, though,
because...
put me
in the hut with the little wooden stakes in it.
He decided this was a really good idea for a murder that he clearly got away with.
Yes.
Because it was a cold case in New York.
Yeah.
But it backfired on him because he has found out now that if he's convicted of murder... They did extradite him for the trial in New York. If he's convicted of murder in New York, he will still have to go back to Florida to finish the murder sentence that he got for beating a man to death with a handgun. He didn't shoot him. He beat him to death with it.
Go to jail.
What a waste of a perfectly good weapon.
So he's a pimp
who's
done a bunch of stupid crap to get into jail. Plus, he clearly does not know what a gun is for, which is in itself,
in
Florida, a crime.
Yes.
There you go.
Should be. If you don't know which end of that thing to use, you shouldn't have one.
Yes.
I believe in certain aspects of gun control.
Let's see, in Columbia, Missouri, the sheriff's department got a call from the Budget Inn.
A fine establishment.
Yes, he got a call from the manager, because the manager got a call from one of the employees after they had broken most of the windows out of the lower floor of the building, which they did on purpose because they got what they thought was an official call letting them know there was a gas leak in the building and they needed to break all the windows to let the gas escape. So rather than call the manager and find out what to do or call the police and say, we just got this call, they went around and broke all the windows before somebody thought, oh, maybe we should call the manager.
like maybe this was a fake call.
It was a prank call.
Yeah.
Which lets you know what sort of people the Budget Inn is hiring these days.
Fine establishment.
Yeah, you know what? If there's a leak like that, I guarantee that the gas company is there at the motel and they're taking care of the windows.
Yeah. How about just open the doors?
You know,
How about what I did? Leave the building.
Yeah.
You know what I did? When I lived in Oregon, we got this great idea to get aluminum. We went around to this apartment building, a rather large apartment complex. Uh-huh. We were wearing these overalls that we bought at Salvation Army. Uh-huh. And we had
a clipboard
with a piece of paper on it. And I said, we're here to, we're replacing all the screen doors. Huh. And the guy goes, oh, really? And I go, yeah. And he goes, great. He goes, that's awesome. You go, we'll take them off. We'll take them off today. It'll take us a couple hours. We'll be back tomorrow to install the new ones.
Perfect.
Yeah. I can't believe we never got caught for that because we went and turned them in.
Is there a statute of limitations on that, or should I delete that from you?
Yeah, this is 30-something years ago.
Yeah.
But it's like, how many people turn in 56?
Is there a statute of limitations on your ninth step?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I called on that.
Okay.
I did.
All right.
Guy
running the place goes, I don't even know what company owned this building back then. I said, okay. Oh, well, I'm just letting you know. I'm sorry for that. He goes, never even heard of that story. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. In Claremont.
California?
No.
Florida!
Okay. Thank you. Leanne J. Watson.
Leanne J.? We have two names and an initial?
No, J as in G-A-E is her middle name.
Oh, three names.
Yeah, three names. Was arrested when she called 911 to order chicken wings and a pack of cigarettes. When informed that she had dialed 911, she said, yes, this is an emergency. I'm too drunk to drive and I need chicken wings and cigarettes.
Hey, you got to give her credit for not driving.
So they went to her home to arrest her for misuse of 911.
Yeah, you know what? I can understand where that's an emergency.
We can understand that.
But I get that. You know, a chicken place that delivers.
Because, you know, and that's going to pick up a pack of smokes on their way over.
Hell yeah. Why not? Hey, a good delivery person would do it.
Absolutely.
If I was working at Buffalo Wild Wings and I was going to do a delivery and the person who called said, I'm really, really drunk, but I need some cigarettes. I'm buying chicken wings. Can you please? I would definitely go and pick some up.
Yeah, I would too.
Because I wouldn't want that person driving drunk to go get cigarettes.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Hell yeah.
I hear a butt coming.
You could call any one of 100 places that did better chicken wings.
Well,
God.
Oh, it was the first one that I thought of. It was the first one I thought of.
I got to ask you.
I've eaten there once. I would never go back.
No.
Someone was freaking brilliant because I remember when I was young, you couldn't give away chicken wings. I mean, you couldn't give them away.
Yeah, that was the piece nobody wanted.
Yeah.
Chicken wings are like an entree.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like some guy somewhere is like,
in Buffalo.
Yeah. Okay.
Dip them in sauce and fry them and dip them in sauce. Watch what happens.
Yeah.
Also in
Florida.
No, California. No.
Henry Clay Johnson Jr.
Oh.
Wow.
Three and a half.
Here
we go. Second generation, three names.
He's taking his duties seriously as the monitor of the panhandle, Pensacola, he decided that he was going to selectively kick people out of town. So he's all liquored up in his truck, and he tries to drive people off the road. When they pull over or when they are driven off the road and he confronts them, he tells them, well, that's not what he tells them, but that was a good cue.
Chuck Barris.
He's telling people, I don't like your kind and get out of town. According to the story.
Kicked his ass?
Well, the police came and picked him up when one of his victims, a 60-year-old woman, was driven off the road in her Cadillac, and he told her. Then she got on her cell phone, called 911. They picked him up. Apparently, he's been doing this for like hours now, yeah, and picking mostly on elderly people in large cars.
Oh,
I don't like your kind.
Yeah, what is he trying to get all the snowbirds out of Florida or something?
Apparently,
we're on our way to Miami.
Yeah, really. Okay,
not anymore. You ain't.
We are way past time. However,
what? You have to do this.
I have to do this. This just cracked me up. I saw, you know, Butterball Turkey, the company that makes Butterball. Yes. They have a hotline that they have run for years.
Butterball Hotline.
The Butterball Hotline. Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever. You can call if you have a problem with your turkey. They have a website now devoted to the weirdest phone calls that they've gotten.
Oh, my God.
And I pulled a few of them off.
This should be good.
Well, some of them, it's like, really, are you that dumb?
I got the best story after you're done, so go ahead.
Okay. Someone called in and wanted to know how they could roast their turkey so that it gets golden brown tan lines in the shape of a turkey bikini. Because they saw a picture on Pinterest.
I was going to say, I've seen that on Pinterest or something, Facebook or something.
Well, no, they saw a picture on Pinterest of what turned out to be a cake shaped like a turkey wearing a bikini, and they thought that the turkey was going to look like that.
I have seen it.
Yes. But to give them credit, the Butterball, the phone operator, sat on the phone with them and got like a thing of aluminum foil and figured out how to put it on the turkey so that when you do the golden brown part, it would look like a bikini.
And see, that's Butterball for
that's
you right
Butterball.
There.
That's right.
Butterball, better than Butterbean.
A gentleman called in wanting to know how he could possibly carve the turkey because all of its bones were broken. The turkey would not fit in the pan, so he put it on the floor and stomped up and down on it till all the bones were broken and he could squash it into the pan. But then it came time to carve it, and there were broken
bones
everywhere.
Wow.
They basically told him, yeah, we can't do anything about that.
Stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah.
Half is like a broken turkey.
There's the woman that called in wondering why her turkey had no breast meat. And after a few minutes of questioning, discovered that she'd put it in upside down and didn't realize that she'd put it in upside down.
Which is the correct way to cook one, by the way.
Yes.
Yep.
How
about the people that put the Rock Cornish game hen inside the turkey as the stuffing thing? And then you tell the person that's cooking the turkey, oh, my God,
it was pregnant. Yeah. Oh. And finally, I'll let you get to your turkey story. Okay. This one actually made me lol a bit. A caller called in to ask, how do I get my turkey to stop sudsing? Is a soapy turkey recoverable? Because the instructions to wash the turkey.
Oh, you use soap?
They used Dawn dishwashing liquid, and then they put the turkey in the oven, and it was sudsing.
Oh, my God.
As it bubbled, you know, the juices started bubbling, and it started sudsing.
That's perfect. So, Mark,
what is your turkey story?
Doesn't involve a fryer.
My younger brother dated some really real winners when he was in his late teens, early 20s. And his girlfriend du jour was over for Thanksgiving, and she wanted to help. So my mother told her, go ahead and clean get the giblets out of the turkey. And she pulls the little bag out with the giblets in it, and she puts her hand back in, and she blushes.
Oh.
She goes, oh, my God, this was a male turkey. She had grabbed the neck, which is also
It was a male turkey. Who apparently had swallowed his dick.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Is she still a member of the family?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Did she breed?
I didn't want him to keep her around long enough to find out.
Good Lord.
I haven't really normally done stupid turkey things except for doing things like not realizing that I'm using a really floppy aluminum pan and then the turkey went flying across the floor.
Oh, perfect.
I got the turkey up onto the counter, forgot that there was a wide streak of turkey juice all over the floor, and then
Whoa,
went bum over tea
Shelley.
Cup. Yes.
Have you ever seen turkey bowling?
No.
They do it at grocery stores sometimes where they set up a bunch of 2-liter bottles and they take one of those butter balls that have that net
handle
over it and they bowl with it.
I love that. And then you buy it the next day.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress, too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Shelley.
Hola. ¿Qué tal?
Your dreams were your ticket out.
Ah, bien.
Okay. Hola, ¿quién es ese chico? Es un amigo mío. ¿Cómo se llama? Se llama Juan. Venite lo presento. That's from, like, my fourth grade Spanish class. I cannot get that out of my head ever since then. It's one of those things where you repeat it back and forth.
If you could see this show, we have this on closed caption.
Absolutely. So.
SAP.
So, Shelley, the topic du jour.
Yes.
Is.
From Bill's story. The post, or the topic he sent.
Completely legalizing drugs.
Well, not necessarily legalizing, decriminalizing.
Okay.
Which is, in a sense, that's where marijuana is now in California. It's decriminalized. It's like a traffic
ticket.
Well,
that's also where cocaine and meth are right now. You get a ticket. You don't go to jail. It's not a felony anymore.
For possession?
It's a misdemeanor.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Last year we voted on that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had a guy sponsored that had four arrests, all of them felonies, and suddenly they all became misdemeanors and they were tickets. And he's like, oh, yeah.
He's looking at us like, thank you, guys.
Yeah. Well, and he's
I promise I'm never
going
to do this again.
And
yeah.
He's still getting loaded.
Because there were no consequences.
Yeah, but he's running out of money to get loaded with, isn't he?
Oh, he ran out of money ages ago.
Yeah. And you know, the running out of money is a small...
inconvenience.
A small, you know, dip in the road.
Yeah.
So, what do we think about this?
The whole point of the story is that Ireland wants to do this because it worked really well for Portugal, and to a certain extent, the UK has some aspects of that too.
I know the UK...
And they want to redirect the money that they're spending on their war on drugs into the healthcare system so that they can actually, they feel, provide help for the addict rather than just locking them up. Because the possession may be decriminalized, but illegal sale and distribution is not.
Who would ever admit to selling and distributing? It's personal. I was just sharing it with a friend.
Yeah.
I was sharing it with a friend, just like you'd buy drinks for someone at
That's
a bar.
Right. I bought a round, then he bought a round.
You know what? Wow.
I'm all over it, man.
Yeah. So I know in London, I don't know about the rest of the UK, but I read a story once where they were giving heroin addicts heroin. And syringes and all that, and I think what they were trying to do at the time was stem not only some of the heroin problems, but sharing of needles and things. Mm-hmm.
Well, and they had bad heroin that was killing people off.
Yeah,
so they were getting clean heroin from the health service.
Well, and I that was one of the things I almost brought up when you were mentioning the story in the first place, and held it for now. Is there are a lot of people that OD on a variety pack of drugs because it's not always everything in it what you think is in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that any drug dealer would ever cut a drug with other things, but we know they do. We know they do.
Yes,
they and do. You know it. At least you'd be getting something pure. What do you guys feel about it, though? Shelly, what do you think?
I don't know.
Could it happen here?
I don't know. Well, it would have to be. That's the kind of thing I would have to be decided on a state-by-state basis. Because what will work in one state, America's this gigantically huge place, and the mini cultures from state to state are very different.
Yeah, Portugal's pretty small.
It's fairly contained. So it works really well there. It might work really well in Ireland. It works reasonably well in the UK. But those are smaller places, and it's a more homogenous culture. I don't know that it would work that well here. And do we even want to test that water? Should we? I mean, I don't know.
I'd say it's pretty safe to say that in the next couple of years, weed's going to be completely legal. But that's a far cry from cocaine, heroin, Oxycontin.
Yeah, but what's the difference? I mean,
to me, the difference is if I smoke enough weed, I'm probably not even going to leave the house.
But you might.
If I smoke a bunch of cocaine, I'm for sure leaving the house.
You're for
because
sure.
If I can't get any more from the distribution center or whatever, I'm going to break in someone's house and take something and go find a dealer.
Well, that just defeated the whole purpose.
Right.
Because are they going to regulate how much they let you get?
Yeah. In the story, it said that if you signed on to the program, you would go in and get a certain amount every day. Go to the health center and get a certain amount every day.
How would you do that with cocaine?
But yeah, because how much would that be?
I don't know. It didn't say how much in the story.
Cocaine would have to be a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know they have to limit it somehow. I'm assuming they have to limit it, which means eventually you're going to go back and they're going to go, no, you can't have any more.
Because you're not going to have a Scarface pile sitting in your
den. And you're going to go get it wherever, however.
Yeah. So you just defeated the whole purpose of
this
thing.
Now, maybe it would be, you know, more like a heroin thing. Like heroin, I could see them doing it with because heroin doesn't have that I've got to do it again every 5 minutes thing that cocaine has.
Right.
I could see it working with that. I don't know.
So if I'm addicted to speedballing, they have to give me both.
That's right.
Well, it didn't say that in the story.
Oh, so they're going to now decide which ones. And who's going to decide?
I guess. Well, I suppose the health service.
Let's put the federal government in charge of this because we know what a great job they do with everything they run.
Well, Ireland's federal government maybe we're running a lot better than ours right now.
Ireland's like the size of Georgia.
I don't even think it's that big.
I don't think it's that big. Yeah, so it's kind of easy for the federal government in Ireland to monitor their 7 square blocks.
Yeah, I think that Ireland's about the size of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a little different here. Lots of people.
Well, and that's what I mean is that's why I'm saying I don't know that that would work here.
Crap load of cocaine. You know how much cocaine you need for the 50 states? We'd have to start growing it.
You know what? How weird is that? Because you know where they're going to get it from. Then they're going to have to go down to the cartels.
Yeah.
Talk about a weird backward sort of thing. Hey, we've been trying to put you out of business for years, but you know what? Now we're going to distribute this shit for you, and we need help. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like I said before, food for thought. If you were to decriminalize crime would go way down.
I think for me, though, that the interesting part of the story, the thing, if I were weighing this, let's say just weighing this in California, not in any other state. So California is going to decriminalize
this. By the
kilo. The reason I might be for it is for harm reduction. Because they're in Portugal, at least, the rate of death from overdose and from bad drugs plummeted. I mean, went to almost negligible amounts because the people that signed on to the program, the drug program, got their amounts of whatever it was, and it was clean. So the ones that were still overdosing are the ones that, like you're saying, well, I ran out, I need to go get some more, and would go to an illegal dealer.
Oh, my God.
And they were getting clean needles. They were getting clean paraphernalia.
Pharmaceutical coke. Wow.
Shit. Oh my God. Bruce is going out.
Doesn't get no. any better than that.
Here you go.
So
imagine the lobbying firm. And if you just donate the right amount to the lobbyists, how much they raise up the amount of your drug of choice becomes.
Is John DeLorean still alive? Well, at any rate.
You know who's going to run all this? Next thing is going to be Canada, and it's going to be, what's his name? Rich. What's
Trudeau.
Trudeau?
No. Oh. The guy. The Toronto mayor.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's going to be lobbying hard for that. He's like, yeah, decriminalize.
Yeah, I can run this.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that the reason why they mainly call it a success is because arrests are down. They're pumping more money into rehabilitation, and overdose deaths are down. The reality is that there isn't a government that understands addiction. There can't be. They're just creating. I think that in the long run, it ends up creating people that are addicted to the National Health Service.
I know they don't understand addiction. The U.S. government doesn't understand addiction.
Well,
because if they just looked at how they spend money,
yeah,
they would understand addiction.
You know, and one of our listeners actually posted in the Recovery 101 group, you know, one of those Facebook memes about, and it was attached to a story about how, you know, the current POTUS wanted to really take a look at cracking down and getting serious about ending addiction in America. And that ticked me off. And I actually fired back. I said, you know what? I am not going to listen to any politician, with the possible exception of Marion Barry, who happens to be dead, because none of these people understand what addiction means, what it feels like, what we go through. So they're not going to. Half of the problem is something that's completely foreign to them.
You know how they helped eradicate poverty? They just raised the poverty level.
Yeah.
Well,
here, why shall we do this? Let's just change the. Let's just move the line.
Well, I'll give you an example of something. And this would go for any of these countries, any country that tries to do this. Mm-hmm. What you need to make sure, like for instance, in California. Mm-hmm. We used to put a lot of people in jail for cocaine possession, methamphetamine possession, and mm-hmm. we're not putting any, but no one is going to jail anymore. Now, obviously, the jail system is saving a buttload of money.
Right.
Now, if we took that buttload of money and put it into treatment facilities and started really, really aggressively putting people in, introducing them to program, all that, that would be a good thing. The problem is going to be, I guarantee, all the money they save is not going for that.
No.
It's going somewhere else. You know, because the idea, you know what? The idea would be fantastic. You know what? Less guys in jail. We spend less in jail. Let's put all that money into drug rehabilitation. Uh-huh. Because we know there will be a percentage of people that'll get it.
Yeah, 5%.
But if they don't do that, if they merely save the money and put less guys in jail, uh-huh. it doesn't do anything about solving or helping, you're not going to solve the problem, but helping to solve the problem.
No, it sure helps your crime statistics.
Well, your crime goes down.
Yeah.
You know, how many felony arrests were there in California last year compared to this year? Not a single cocaine guy or meth guy, unless he's selling or distributing, none of those guys are getting felonies. So the felony rate in California probably dropped by 30%.
I'm just sharing with my friends.
Yeah.
100 people. I got cocaine. I got a lot of friends.
I got friends in low places, buddy. You don't know.
I got friends in low places.
Whiskey burns and the beer chases my blues away.
Shelly?
And it'll be
what would
okay.
your final thoughts on legalizing all or decriminalizing all drugs be?
Speaking as an alcoholic whose drug of choice is actually legal. That's another interest that just led. Yeah.
The show
final
continues.
Words yet. My drug of choice is actually legal.
Yes.
Yeah. I can go anywhere and get it anytime.
Will the government give it to you for free?
Well, no. But.
Well, we know what happens if the government tries to stop you from getting it.
Yes, we know what happens when they prohibit. So well. That didn't work. But it still didn't stop me from. It didn't get me sober any faster. So if we look at that experiment, yeah, taking it away was bad, but then legalizing it didn't really help much either.
You know what this puts an end to? This might be a good thing. You know what this puts an end to?
What?
Court cards.
What? Ah, no more court cards.
You know what? I sign on for it just for that.
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Not in California, because the guy that I know, yes, he got, he didn't have to go to jail, but they asked him to go do a program.
What if you say no?
But, and here's the thing, though, and
wait,
this is
what say
I
no?
mean. He had to go.
Yeah, what if you say no? If it's not a felony, no? What if you say no?
Yeah, I don't want to.
Then they'll incarcerate you.
Well, wait.
It's a misdemeanor. For how long?
It's been decriminalized.
20 days, 30
they can't
days?
Incarcerate me.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a traffic
See?
Ticket.
See? You
yeah,
put the government in charge of this,
look
what happened.
Injunction. It's like you're kind of like, you don't have to go to jail, but he was offered this in lieu of that.
So it's not really decriminalized. It's...
I don't know what it's like. It's like a provisional felony or something. It's like if you agree to go to drug treatment, then they'll let you go. But then again, he had to pay for it out of pocket. So that's what I'm saying. You know, if you're going to save all this money, because I don't know how much it costs to put a guy in jail, but it's a lot. Yeah. And if you save all that money, you should be able to be providing many, many, many more free beds at recovery centers.
Yeah, I really don't think they should decriminalize it. I think they should go ahead and legalize it.
Tax it.
And tax it.
Cha-ching. We could wipe
Do
out
you see,
the
Have you seen
debt.
How many tax holidays they've had in Colorado since they legalized marijuana? Because they've collected so much tax money.
I did a term paper when I was in college on legalizing marijuana. And at the time, the amount of money, and this was like, I can't even remember, I said it would... Like something minimal. It was like a dollar an ounce tax. Even at a dollar an ounce, it was billions and billions of dollars.
Yep.
Now, we know if it was sales tax and it's 9% on a dollar, you know, and you look at buying a kilo of weed, I mean, you're talking a lot of tax dollars. Yeah. And it's like there's a tremendous amount of money available now.
Yeah. So my thing is legalize it. Tax it. Even the dealers would gladly pay taxes to not take a chance of going to jail.
Absolutely.
You know.
So, Shelley, what are your final words on decriminalizing all drugs?
Okay, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I think it's a bad idea.
But it works
because,
so well in Portugal.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
It's working everywhere.
I don't think it would work so well here because... There are too many variables. That's just way out of control. And plus, knowing our crowd, we'd end up having no friends. They'd all be dead. Well, it's not illegal. I can do this. I'll just do it one time.
You know what ends in California within a few years? The water shortage.
Yeah, because
we've thinned
because
the herd.
We'll all be dead.
We've thinned the herd.
And then where are you going to make it okay to do this? Because then you run the risk of people that are – everybody's – loaded out there crashing their cars.
Now, if everybody's loaded, they're all hiding in their houses.
That's true.
Staring out the window.
Oh, then productivity goes down and then the GDP goes down. This is way too complicated.
See?
This is a many-headed hydra. Nope. Sorry.
See? This
ain't
going to
do it. I want to keep my friends and yeah, I'm done.
Mark?
So toughen the laws?
Because
we're not going to be subject to it anyway. We don't drink or use.
Right, but I don't think we need to toughen them. I think we can stay the course.
Toughen the laws, put a wall around Los Angeles, just like Escape from New York and Escape
Let
from
them
LA,
all shoot it out.
And just put them all in there. That's right.
Mark.
Yes.
Final words.
Legalize it. Collect the taxes. Get us out of debt.
Let the chips fall where they may.
That's right. If you legalize it, crime goes down.
My final words are marijuana is almost for sure going to be legal in the next couple of years. Almost for sure. I'm not so sure about narcotics. Decriminalizing narcotics is a spectacular idea. I know that the people that I know that got busted for narcotics are like, oh, so now it's just a slap on the hand. So now I can go get loaded more because the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to get a ticket. So I'm not so sure.
By the way, the latest study on gateway drugs now includes hookah.
What?
Now includes hookah.
Hookah?
That's tobacco.
The latest study on gateway drugs now includes
Which is weird because hookah's been around for
thousands years.
I heard someone up at...
But they're looking into the fact that the number of... high school and college kids that are smoking hookah that are then moving on to other drugs.
But hookah doesn't. I know. That just baffles me because hookah does not get you high. It's like smoking a cigarette. Only it's like cherry flavored.
If you lace it with hash oil, it does.
Okay, well, I'm not doing that, so it's not a gateway anything for
me. Not yet.
I thought
those horrible yets. Yeah.
I thought it was funny because a guy at our favorite coffee place, Cafe X2O in Glendora, California, this guy says, you know, I don't know about hookah. I think it's a fad. I'm like, it's been a fad for like 5,000 years, right? Actually, longer than that. I mean, it's Shelley's used a slipper of death to kill a spider.
Nice job, Shelley.
So, Mark, we have a friend in the Inland Empire.
We do. That would be the 12-Step Gazette. You can get there by going to 12stepgazette.com/IE. Read the fine publication.
Yes.
And probably subscribe to their fine publication would be nice. But also go support and check it out.
Shelley?
Yes.
People listen to this really big shoe.
I'm probably going to have to put a trigger warning on this one. Thank you.
Trigger warning.
Yes. Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows. Okay, only Mark should make that sound.
What?
Because you sound like you're trying to get a horse to go somewhere. Click on one of the shows. Click like or permalink. Thank you. if you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our demographics, which have gone up because we posted two shows last week, by the way. Yay, go us. Because I looked at the reports on... Where was I? Oh, and you can follow the show. You can become a follower. That will get you automatic updates of when we post the show. You can like us. You can leave topic suggestions, please, and comments. And you can put us on playlists for all your winter party needs.
Shelley thinks you guys need to start leaving positive topics for us.
I already have one positive topic, and you guys were like, I don't want to do that this week.
Oh, Christ, no.
I thought this last one was quite positive.
I thought this one was possibly going to send people out.
We'd have to use Pharrell as a lead-out music. Because I'm happy.
Oh, God, I hate that song. No. Don't even go there.
I'm trying hard not to.
Okay.
I'm feeling Pharrell, though.
Go, Bruce. Go.
No.
I'm going to go get one of those big hats.
No. No.
Because I'm happy.
Ah, shut up.
If you're a happy and Facebook friendly, you can join up with Podomatic really super, super easy. You can choose login with Facebook. And if you're logged in with Facebook, it'll hook you right in. And you can like and comment and do all the things Shelley was talking about very easily. If you're Facebook friendly as well, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, and we always post shows there. If you'd like to be more secretive about your former usage of drugs and alcohol on Facebook so other people don't see, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group, and no one will see anything that you post there. You can send us a message on the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, or you can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper or Bruce Burnett and ask us, and we shall add you to the group. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send raves and rants and comments and show topics.
Our rants get raves.
You can send jingles. You can send lead-out music if it's yours.
Jingle.
And any of those things. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We certainly do not. Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Electra.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
To the end, and I have pictures to show all of my friends. I've been all alone, and I've been desperate and searching for something. I have been to the end with no one there. shake off.